Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Come, my lady, come, come, my lady, you're my butterfly, sugar, baby. Come, my lady, come, come, my lady, you're my butterfly, sugar, baby. Such a sexy, sexy, pretty little thing. This paper bitch, you got me sprung with your tongue ring. And I ain't gonna lie, cause your loving gets me high. So to keep you by my side, there's nothing that I won't try. Butterflies in her eyes and her looks to kill. Time is passing, I'm asking, could this be real? Cause I can't sleep, I can't hold still. The only thing I really know is she got sex appeal. I can feel, too much is never enough. You always there to lift me up when these times get rough. I was lost, now I'm found, ever since you've been around. You're the woman that I want, so you know I'm putting it down. Come my lady, come, come my lady, you're my butterfly, sugar baby. Come my lady, you're my pretty baby. I'll make your legs shake, you make me go crazy. Come my lady, come, come my lady.
I'm going to argue that we should replace the Electoral College with majority win national popular vote presidential elections.
Now, I know that might not be top of your mind for events that took place yesterday, but this is a this was a very interesting thing that happened just last week. University of West Florida did a the Rumino Askew political science unit did a debate about the Electoral College. Now, I think this is part of the, you know, the requirement that now colleges have to every year do these like informative discussions in Florida. But I think they have also been doing some of this stuff every year prior to this. So I don't know how this is necessarily responsive, whether this is necessarily responsive to that new rule or whether this is just kind of in place. But I will tell you this, it was great. I mean, it was fantastic. The discussion between Dr. Adam Clayton, on the one hand, who is arguing in favor of the national popular vote, the idea that, you know, we should just decide the president on the basis of the total number of people and how they vote. And then Dr. Alfred Kuzan, who was arguing in favor of the current system, the rather, you know, complicated and little understood and often maligned Electoral College process of selecting the president. And it was really, really, really good. And I wanted to take some time today to, you know, take you through some of these ideas because, you know, it's probably never going to be that day when this is like the first big news item. Okay. But sometime we got to talk about it because there is always this push on by particularly people who are liberal more often who say that the Electoral College is wrong for a variety of reasons. And I thought it was just, like I said, it was a fascinating, really, really good event. So we're going to do this today and talk about it and, you know, maybe give you a little bit more equipment in your intellectual vocabulary to think about this question of whether it's proper to select the president by the Electoral College through the states, or whether it is proper to select the president by the national popular vote. So let's go through some of the arguments. This is Dr. Clayton again, or Dr. Caton, excuse me, arguing for the affirmative, essentially, to get rid of the Electoral College.
First, the United States is founded on the self-evident truth that we are all created equal. Yet the Electoral College gives greater weight to votes from less populous states, making, for example, a vote in Wyoming worth four times as much as a vote in Florida.
Because they get two senators and a representative in the Electoral College, and we get our, what, 22? Gosh, I forget how many now we have representatives now because we added a couple, plus our two, you know. And then if you divide that by the number of population, the vote per population is much greater in Wyoming. So they have a greater power to select the president than we have in Florida. How can that be right? Second. Okay, computer, hold on now.
It allows candidates to win without even plurality support and has done so four times.
Meaning if you do not get a majority, okay, first of all, in fact, you don't even need to have a plurality. If the thing goes into the House of Representatives, right, anything can happen. And so the person who would never have gotten even a plurality of the support can wind up becoming president of the United States.
It makes presidential elections appear more lopsided than they are, giving the winning side a false sense of dominance and making the losing side feel aggrieved and unseen.
Right. The real popular support could be very close, but you might win 60% of the Electoral College and feel like you've gotten a lot. And because of the winner-take-all system, you know, you could be Reagan, you know, and win every state but one, I think, in his re-election bid. And that makes it seem like 100% of the country supports you when it's 51% of each state, right, supporting you, which is a very different proposition.
It creates the impression that presidential elections are less representative than they are, because many people think the Electoral College acts independently of the outcome of the vote.
Right. You know, it might create the appearance, and this was actually by design. Remember, the founders were very skeptical about direct anything. they didn't, you know, this notion that, like, the people are going to choose everything is not what they had in mind. In fact, if you'll notice, we don't have direct democracy. We have representative democracy. The people don't vote on anything on the national. There's no national referenda, right? What we do is we elect representatives to the House of Representatives. That's the closest thing to direct election by the people and representation you get. In the Senate, then you have two per state, and that was meant to be a compromise between big states and small states, and to make sure that the big states didn't just take over everything by their largeness. Okay, and then you have, of course, the president's check on that, but the president selected by the Electoral College was really, like, in the beginning, you know, in the beginning, you were picked by not the people. We did not have direct election of the president. The electors were selected by the state government. So it was indirect. You know, we would vote for the governor, we would vote for the House of Representatives and the Senate in the state, and then somehow or other the state would decide to send electors. And then they would pick the president. It was not meant to be. You know, it was definitely not meant to be a direct election by the people. And so it might seem like what used to be true and is not anymore is that the electors would pick. Of course, now that's not the case. We pick, and then that picks the slate of electors, and then those are all locked into who they vote for. So it gives this false appearance of being independent rather than being based on what the people decide.
It also allows small shifts in specific states to have massive effects on the outcome. This is bad because it causes most of the country to be ignored in favor of a handful of battleground states.
Right. There's no point in campaigning in California for president, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, because it is a locked up state right now for Democrats. Now, that can shift over time, of course. But there's no point in wasting your money there. Instead, you campaign in a handful of states, Arizona, you know, Wisconsin, Ohio, Georgia, used to be Florida, and we're maybe not a swing state anymore, right? You know, only those states are the ones who really get the campaign focus or the primary process, but that's not the same as the general election. And so there's only a very small number of people who even get campaigned to when it comes to the president because of the battleground states in the Electoral College, because, you know, if you got 55-60% support in any given state, I mean, that's a lock. Don't bother, right?
It makes presidential results contingent on random events, and it makes disputed elections more likely.
Because the geography that decides that your vote is in Wyoming or Colorado or Florida or Georgia is pretty arbitrary. And the fact that it's pretty arbitrary means that you don't have a sort of a system for figuring out whose interests are represented, the ranchers or the, you know, dairy farmers or the grain farmers or the makers of motor vehicles in Detroit or whatever. It's just kind of all of this weird stuff about what happened to be a state, and state boundaries are, of course, drawn in bizarre ways. Look at Florida. Why are we Florida? Everything west of Tallahassee should really be Alabama, but here we are, Florida. Why? Well, you know, what's the answer? There's no great answer. There's just history, right? And those things, that makes a difference in the presidential election. All the people who live on the panhandle, how we vote, right? That's, and if you look at the geography of the United States, I mean, he's certainly got a point.
Finally, the administrative mechanisms of the Electoral College are very complicated, making it easy for the system to break down and prevent the lawful continuity of government.
Again, because it's complicated, because of things like, well, can the vice president just, you know, decertify the national vote? Can the members of the House, can they, you know, like, or the Senate, can any, who has power to do this? Well, they don't have the power that you think they have, or I should say that they don't have the power that Trump thought they had, you know? And so, well, that creates an issue that it can be perceived to have been taken away from people. So lots of good stuff, including, and this is just the one side, right? I haven't even gotten into the other side yet, and there's a lot more to this. But it was a really, really good debate. Now, answers, the short version, because I know not all of you are going to listen to all 4 hours, but we are going to podcast all of these segments kind of on their own so that you can hear this discussion kind of as a totality. But one of the reasons, okay, one of the reasons, or one of the, I think, key reasons for defending the Electoral College is the basic question of what's the unit of government for selecting, you know, the federal representative and the president. And the answer is it's not the people, because that unequal representation argument is very powerful. You know, why should somebody's vote in, again, less populous areas like Wyoming matter so much more than higher density population areas like Florida or California? Why should they have disproportionate power? Well, the answer cannot be that those people matter more. But the answer absolutely can be that because the federal government is not chosen by individual people. The federal government is chosen by states. States are the ones who decide who basically runs the country. Because we are not America. We are the United States of America. We are a federal system. And, you know, Dr. Kuzan made that point, and I thought made it extraordinarily well when he talked about, you know, the who exactly is the source of authority in the United States.
At the founding, 13 independent colonies voted to form a more perfect union, as the preamble of the Constitution proclaims, and they did so voting separately as states. Similarly, to amend the Constitution requires the assent of 3/4 of the states, each voting separately. Is there any wonder, then, that the method that the founders came up with for the election of the President of the United States, the single most important office of the federal government, would follow suit?
Exactly. Everything we did in, you know, the Declaration to the Constitution to the amendments was written, chosen, voted on by states, not by people. I mean, if you look at the Declaration of Independence, it's all these signatures and individual names grouped by state because it wasn't an individual vote of the majority of the delegates. It was the vote of the states. And in order to ratify an amendment, you need 3/4 of the states because states are the things that decide what goes on at the federal level. And that's the point, is we don't elect the president based on people. We elect the president based on states. It's the one place where all the states come together and make a choice. And he says, and you know, he says, and if you start with the idea that America is a group of people who have political authority, then sure, you go with the national popular vote. But if you start with the idea that America is a collection of states, then you don't do the popular vote. And you can't even object to it because that's just not the way our system is designed. And he says, look, if you're really all that worried about the dilution of the vote problem, if you're really all that worried about making sure that each individual counts the same.
My vote is being diluted relative to another American who is equal to me, entitled to equal protection under the laws. And yet when I vote, it just doesn't count for as much. How do you explain why that's necessary or why that's beneficial?
Well, would you say the same thing about the Senate then? If you challenge the presidency on that grounds, what about the Senate?
This is exactly right. The person in Wyoming is worth way more in terms of representation in the Senate than the person in Florida. And that one's far more obvious because you can just look at the populations of the states and each one gets 2 senators. So if you're going to say that vote dilution is the issue, it's not the presidency you should worry about. It's the Senate.
I mean, the logic would then lead you to say, well, we really shouldn't have 2 senators per state.
I'm not making that argument about the Senate.
Okay, but the logic of deduction would be that would be the next step, right?
He's exactly right. And would you say that the Senate itself is an unjust institution because every state gets 2 votes instead of every state getting a vote like the House of Representatives based on their population? So like I said, I mean, we're just kind of scratching the surface on this, but I wanted to give you a sense of the discussion. And I will tell you, as I was following along, I found the challenges to the Electoral College system to be persuasive when all laid out on their own by Dr. Adam Caton, who is, again, a professor at the University of West Florida. And then I heard the arguments in defense of the current system by Alfred Kuzan, and I found them to be more persuasive. If I'm just looking at it as an objective debate analyst, I thought it was really great. And so I want to give credit to UWF for putting this on. And I'll link when we post, I'll podcast my commentary and I'll also podcast the original debate if you want to listen to it. But very, very interesting. The kind of stuff a university should be doing. And it made me, honest to God, it made me kind of want to take their classes. Like, oh, man, I hope this stuff is going on in these classes. I hope it's this interesting. 524 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, I'm Mansfield Coe from Pensacola Hardware. We are your best local and regional resource for industrial construction and hardware supplies. Daily, we meet the needs of Pensacola's construction companies, providing superb knowledge and code-compliant products. We specialize in concrete and masonry tools, fall protection products, and tools and supplies for the HVAC, mechanical, plumbing, electrical, and glass trades. Give us the opportunity to show you why we are Pensacola's oldest and best hardware and construction supply company. Pensacola Hardware, 20 East Gregory Street, downtown.
Ugh, after a big dinner, my nighttime heartburn would keep me up. I'd be taking antacid after antacid all night long. But then I tried Prilosec OTC. Just one pill a day blocks my frequent heartburn for a full 24 hours, giving me one-and-done heartburn relief without heartburn keeping me up. I could have a restful night's sleep.
Prilosec OTC. One pill a day, 24 hours, zero heartburn. It's possible while taking Prilosec OTC. Uses directed for 14 days to treat frequent heartburn, not for immediate relief.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZzzQuil.
ZzzQuil, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZzzQuil Nights. Explore our products at ZzzQuil.com. Uses directed. Keep out of reach of children.
News Radio 92.3 is Pensacola's radio home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
The bartender never gets killed.
No, man. Bartender got it worse than anybody.
She said, I gotta keep my head right out of the cloud. They say I'll die, but they won't show me how. My skin is thick, but my knees are weak. I'll run away for a kiss on the cheek. Ow!
Good morning, 526 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News, and I had a really good time last night emceeing the Council on Aging event with their Aging in Style calendar, which, if you're not familiar with this, is where they take some folks who are a little bit older, a little bit more golden seasoned in our community, leaders, and they have them pose in, I would call them semi-risque poses, where they're naked, but you don't see the nudity. Like, it's kind of hidden behind a surfboard or behind a for sale sign for Danny Zimmer and that kind of thing.
What's the fun in that?
No, it's a really cool event. And
see
you
that?
No, it's a lot of fun. It's real, and we raised a bunch of money for Council on Aging, who, of course, does fantastic work. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Another vote expected today for the Speaker of the House. This after Jim Jordan fell short again yesterday of the 217 votes needed. The chamber has been unable to move any legislation since Kevin McCarthy's ouster a few weeks ago.
I would say it only a little bit differently. He fell shorter. He got not even as close on the second round as he did. Now, it was only by, you know, a vote or two, but still, there were two more votes against and one less vote for. And Hakeem Jeffries is still in there. Every vote this year, he's had 212 votes for Hakeem Jeffries. Just enough to not be Speaker ever for the Democrats. Go ahead, sir.
Alaska now suing the Biden administration over canceled oil and gas leases in the North Slope, a big reserve of mostly untouched federal land. The Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority held those leases before the Department of Interior's move in September to revoke leases in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. And we're expecting another presidential address tonight from President Biden about the conflict in Gaza. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre released a statement saying he'll be discussing the response to the Hamas attacks in a primetime speech at 8 Eastern tonight.
There is nothing I look forward to quite as much
as a presidential
primetime address from President Joe Biden. That's right. Yeah, I mean, I spend days just on edge.
Giddy
just
in anticipation.
Waiting,
yeah,
waiting for the joy of what this is going to mean. Yeah, no, it's going to be. Some things you watch because it's your job.
There'd be some good sound bites in there, some funny clips.
But again, if I didn't have this platform, would that matter to me? would that be the reason that I watch? Let's just say he's not must-see TV on a Thursday night. Let's just put it that way. But for me, he is, because guess what? 529 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. The Veterans Memorial Park Foundation is hosting a special celebration of service on Veterans Day at First Baptist Church, Pensacola. Dinner and a performance by Mac McAnally. Tickets on sale and are limited to 300. You can get more information at newsradio923.com. Pensacola Little Theater. We're going to be doing a ticket giveaway. Not today, but we will be, just getting you ready for it. A pair of tickets to see Alabama Story at the Pensacola Little Theater. This is a really interesting play. This is the play that's about the book that had a white rabbit get marrying a black rabbit in Alabama back in 1959, back when, you know, segregation and anti-miscegenation laws and all that was. And, of course, it's meant to be like a parallel for today, right? That, you know, they banned this book back then because they were a bunch of racists, and we banned these books right now because we're a bunch of, you know, homophobes and bigots, and they're giving away the copies of books that have been banned at the show and things like, you know, Tango Makes Three and whatever. And I know for those of you who think that the modern movement to sexualize our children and to expose them to all of this crazy stuff is horrible, you might think, well, why would I want to support PLT? Listen, number one, arts venues often advocate for values that not everybody agrees with. And I believe in that. Art is supposed to be challenging. I would go watch this play. I think this play looks fascinating. And you say, well, it seems to be against your side, Andrew. Okay, so? Why wouldn't you consume art or literature or evidence or rational argument that is different from you? That's how you grow, is by encountering these things and understanding them.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President Biden addresses the nation this evening at 8 o'clock Eastern time about his support for Ukraine and its war against Russia and for Israel in its war against Hamas terrorists in Gaza. The president's back from Israel.
The president's visit resulting in a deal with Israel and Egypt to get humanitarian aid into Gaza. He says Egypt has agreed to open the Gaza border crossing to allow 20 trucks to enter with humanitarian aid.
Fox's Kevin Cork. There could be a third vote for House Speaker today. Ohio Republican Jim Jordan lost ground yesterday. Nebraska Republican Don Bacon on Fox.
The problem is we've had since January a small group of people run roughshod over the entire conference.
He opposes Jordan voting in the Republican majority first to keep Kevin McCarthy as speaker, then for Steve Scalise, who dropped out before a vote on the House floor with not enough support to win. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3, 60 degrees right now. Partly cloudy skies here in Pensacola today. Well, for a second time this week, a plane carrying Americans from Israel arrived in Tampa last night. About two dozen people on board, including an Army veteran, Air Force vet's spouse, and a child.
The night that we were heading toward the airport for this particular manifest and the one that beat it that came the other night, we were taking missile fire that night.
And on Tuesday, the state announced they'd sent two planes to Israel that were loaded with supplies, including medical clothing and children's toys. An Alabama woman that was arrested at Wild Greggs in June has filed a lawsuit against the bar and two employees. This is according to the News Journal. Carly Reed is alleging that while she was in the bathroom, two security guards became physical, held her down against her will, and then attempted to take photos of her, the bar being accused of negligence. Wild Greggs owner Greg Urban tells the News Journal, though, he believes the lawsuit is retaliatory after the woman had been arrested. Reed is suing for $50,000 in damages. Some parents aren't happy about disciplinary actions being taken recently at the new Warrington Preparatory Academy. Seventh grade students are reportedly on modified schedules, being locked in a classroom and not allowed out for normal classes or breaks.
You know that these kids are only using the restroom twice a day. You know they're not getting fed properly. You know they're not getting the proper instruction. And nobody is saying anything.
Now, that parent talked with Channel 3 about it. And the actions come after several reported behavioral issues among students at the new school, including one incident that flooded a bathroom and damaged several classrooms. That school currently on a modified schedule with no elective classes. Students are allowed two scheduled bathroom breaks, and there's currently no hot lunch service. Students get a bag lunch and go back to the classroom. Florida Senator Rick Scott speaking out against the Biden administration's plan to provide $100 million in humanitarian aid for civilians in Gaza and the West Bank.
That's our money. You go, well, they're holding Americans. They're holding Americans, and we're going to give them money.
Yesterday afternoon, Scott introduced a bill called the Stop Taxpayer Funding of Hamas Act, which would ensure no taxpayer dollars could go to Gaza until President Biden certifies to Congress that the funds can be spent without benefiting terrorist organizations and that there's no hostages that are currently being held by Hamas in Gaza. It is 5:34. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to be seeing a beautiful day today with a few passing clouds, small chance of a stray shower, 10% chance of rain overall, temperatures warming into the 70s. Overnight tonight, temperatures will be dropping into the 60s for lows. As you go into Friday, 20% chance of a stray shower, otherwise mostly sunny skies, high near 82. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 59. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, it is 60 in Pensacola. 60 in Gulf Breeze, it's 57 in Milton. Our next news at 6 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Local news with News Radio's news team.
I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3.
I'm News Director Joe Ford. Local news radio is so important because during major events or emergencies, you may not always be near a TV. Your phone and internet may go out. But radio is easily accessible and often the first source for information you need to know.
On News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Remember when washing machines were made in America, were solidly built, and actually got your clothes clean? They aren't a thing of the past. They are Speed Queen, and they are available at Tops Appliance. Speed Queen washer and dryers combine durability and technology into the best washers and dryers in the world. Speed Queen will change the way you think about washing machines. They're built to last longer and deliver exceptional wash results. Unlike many other washers and dryers with plastic parts, Speed Queen uses commercial-grade steel and porcelain components designed to give you at least 25 years of reliable, trouble-free operation. That's why they come with lifetime warranties, the best warranties in the business. See store for warranty details. Speed Queen washers and dryers are built to work and built to last. If you want durability, innovation, and perfectly done laundry the first time, then you want Speed Queen. See these great Speed Queen washers and dryers for yourself at Tops Appliance on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
This fall in Pensacola, Florida, celebrate 10 years of FUFU. This year promises to be bigger, funner, and, well, artier. Engaging art installations, livelier music, more amazing cuisine, and a vibrant culture that's contagious. Discover it all this fall. Come celebrate 10 years of FUFU Fest, November 2nd through the 13th in Pensacola, Florida. Start planning at FUFUFest.com.
Join Cat 5 Hurricane Fabric today at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Cat 5 Hurricane Fabric is one of the least expensive hurricane protection systems available. It is strong and safe and defends against wind, water, and flying debris. The professionals from Cat 5 Hurricane Fabric will be here to take your calls and answer any questions you may have about protecting your home and family during a storm. That's today at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Cat 5 Hurricane Fabric.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Gracie. On at 4 right after Guy Benson. On News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 538 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's good to have you with us on a Thursday. Yesterday, had a chance to talk to Mayor D.C. Reeves, as we typically do on Wednesday. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thanks for having me. Always hip to be here.
Very good. All right, let's start with this. The downtown post office is closing. Why are you closing the post office, Mr. Mayor?
That's been the running joke amongst my friends.
Well, you're closing everything else. I mean, it must be you closing the post office, right?
Right.
Joke. Obviously a joke.
Exactly. Of course. But no, we were notified at the same time. As a matter of fact, I found out the landlord, which is not out of the normal USPS policy, but the landlord himself found out through the letter that they sent in PO boxes. So that's just, you know, at the federal level, that's how it works. Is there's no heads up or anything like that. So what I've done,
they
is,
didn't have like a comment period for this decision, did they? They didn't really go through public meetings.
No, including from the landlord. So
right.
So the So they make that decision that they aren't going to renew, and I'm sure that the landlord has indicated that. I mean, if they're trying to develop and things like that. But point is, I'm trying to have a meeting set up with the regional contact tomorrow at 11. And again, really, if nothing else, to say, you know, how can we help? You know, preserve a location downtown. Can we help you find something? You know, I mean, it's my job as real estate agent or whatever to come in and make sure that. That because it does provide an amenity downtown.
Right,
and there's so many
right.
businesses and so many people that work there. It's been there as long as I can remember when me and my granddad walked down there when no one was there on the weekends back when I was a kid. That it was still open in there. So, I'm going to do what I can. I mean, this is definitely outside of anything that the city has any direct impact on, but it does impact us as a community. So I'm going to try to do my job and see if there's something I can do to you know, find some kind of good alternative that would still give us a downtown presence.
And, hey, you know, I think there's a – I see a pattern in your thinking about these kinds of things, and that pattern I appreciate. I think it's a very mature pattern. The pattern is I don't control the schools, but if there's something I can do to make education better for our kids, I'm going to look into it. You know, and, you know, I don't control the post office, but if there's something I can do to solve this problem, you know, and I don't control the private parking lots, but if there's something I can do, look, this affects the experience we have of people downtown. And they blame me anyway. I might as well try to work on it. You know, like why?
Yeah, but correct on both counts.
Yeah, right.
But I think that's the, you know,
that's
the mayor's
gig,
job
right.
isn't just signing documents. You have the power to convene people. You know, we did that completely separate topic yesterday. It's not our duty, but it's just our job to try to bring people together and come to solutions. So, we do the best we can on those things, especially even when they're not right in our wheelhouse.
Yeah. What was your power to convene yesterday? What'd you do?
We actually had a meeting with the all the parade operators.
Oh.
And just trying to get on the same page
okay.
about a few different things and ask them. Actually, there was a council action taken in 2009 that they asked the city manager to convene a group of the parade owners so they could help figure out how to mitigate costs. Lots of costs that go into a parade, you know,
yeah.
police, public works. So my joke was 14 years later, here's our first meeting at the parade, people that was, decided by the 2009 city council. So, you know, and just to hear what I realize is we haven't had those conversations as a group, as a city in at least 20 years. So why don't we make sure we're on the same page? Are we providing good service to the parade? How can we help mitigate some of these, you know, rising costs on the city side? And so it's a great conversation, you know, and we'll just continue to have those moving forward.
That's good. Sometimes, you know, things take time in government. That's also just the reality of it. Let's talk a little bit about this parking survey. Very interesting stuff, including that 20% of people think that the city-managed lots have red signs. which is, you know, mm-hmm. not the case, right? And some comparable percentage think that the, you know, the city lots are, or that the blue lots are the whatever. Just get confused about this. I thought the most interesting takeaway from this was, it wasn't the takeaway you mentioned yesterday in your press conference where you said that we don't have a parking problem during the day. We have a parking problem at night and weekends, which is when we don't charge. Ironically, everybody complains about the paid parking, but that's not the problem. It's what you said, right?
Exactly. That the largest complaint of when I can't find parking is that on weekend evenings, which is actually when we don't charge, at least in the blue spaces, we stop charging at 7 at this point.
Right.
So so you see it's an availability issue. And so that was a big takeaway for me. And I hate to burst some folks' bubble because they think about availability, but they have to understand there is a direct correlation between what you charge and your parking availability. And so, you know, I know there's a lot of people that say, I hope all parking is free.
That's me.
But so think about that. We aren't charging. And the biggest complaint is they can't find a spot at night when we aren't charging.
Right,
why do you
right,
think that is?
Right.
Because, you know, everyone can park everywhere. And so when you read Donald Shoup, when you read these experts, that's what they talk about is you have to find that happy medium. If there's an empty block of parking, it's too expensive. And if it's a full block of parking and no one can ever find a space there ever, think about Palafox Street, it's free right now.
Right.
You can never find one there. We have people circle the block over and over. Why is that happening? Because it's free. And so, you know, that's what we're asking our consultant to look at and trying to find that happy medium between availability and cost.
So for me, you know, I never try on Palafox because I know I won't be able to find a spot. But I always know I can find free spots somewhere. You know me, I'm your biggest enemy on this, if only because I'm the guy who doesn't want to pay 13 cents, period. I don't want to pay anything for parking. I keep feeling like my city streets get taken away from me gradually, you know, over and over. And as long as I can still find, and I can still find, there's plenty of abundant free parking as long as you're willing to walk a block or two. But if you start charging after 7, we're going to have words. But I understand the theory. I totally understand the theory, and there it is. Hang on for me for just a second. We're talking to D.C. Reeves, the mayor of Pensacola. Yep. A couple of things I thought were really interesting in the parking study, one was how do you travel downtown? 79% personal vehicle or motorcycle, which is not surprising, but it confirms the drive-in is that's where most people get to downtown. And therefore, if parking or finding parking or congestion downtown is a problem, those people will make other choices. Then how easy is it for you to find a parking space? 28% extremely difficult, 45% somewhat difficult, combining 73% of people think that it kind of sucks to go downtown to park, somewhat or extremely. And then the last one, and I kind of get your reaction to this, is what's the maximum price you would pay for an hour of parking if it was like the perfect easy experience and no more than just getting out of your car and walking away, even at a no difficulty? 25% want free, most they'll pay. That's me. 19%, 50 cents an hour, 28% a buck an hour. So price, at least according to people, really is a disincentive.
And you know what? I appreciated that stat after 5,100 people took it, because what I've said in town halls before is sometimes I'll get a passing comment about cost, and the reality is it's not about cost. It's about experience. It's about kiosk. How did my app work? Did the kiosk work? And where can I go to go find a space? So the city has work to do really in two instances in my mind. One is to do a better communication job of where these spaces are. The vast majority of spaces that the city owns are free.
Right.
So what we're actually talking about is that parking spot right in front of where you want to be is what's up for discussion.
That's
here.
That's true. Not, yeah, that's right.
It's not that we don't have any free spaces. I mean, we should probably just put signs to free parking, you know, that only are a couple blocks away. We have significant amounts of free parking. So,
or it's the spot that you used to park in for free that now charges till 7, right? That's also an issue. But yeah, go ahead.
Correct,
right. You're right.
Correct. But I think the second job we have to do, and you heard me say this yesterday, and I owe this to the citizens and everybody, really to the community, anybody who uses this as a user fee, is we've got to tell you what we're going to do with the money. And because here's the reality. If we went free right now, just to make a counterpoint, if we went just totally free, do we not have to repave those parking spaces anymore? Do we not have to beautify downtown? Do we not have, are those things? I mean, you're paying for those, Andrew, one way or the other. It's just now we're charging the user who is utilizing it versus, I mean, those are not infrastructure expenses that would just go away if we started charging free. What would happen is over years of time, they would start emailing me and say, man, it really looks downtrodden down here. And there's many test cases of cities that went in, and that's what they talk about, like Donald Shute's title of his book, High Cost of Free Parking, is that you now don't have the money to go revitalize and beautify downtown. And so the big miss that I believe the city has had, and the one I'm taking on, is what are we – okay, we charge different hours – 50 cents, dollar, whatever it is, what are we doing with your money? And I don't think we've ever done a really good job of illustrating what we do with your money.
No, I think that
changes the conversation.
And that's a great – I mean, just to be sure that if the city costs more for something, people ought to understand what is the value I get for my extra cost, whether it's better fire service or better police service or anything else, what do I get for paying a little bit more? Hey, just a quick thing before we do the lightning round. I know you had a big discussion last week about this property John Schell has bought, Kitty Corner to the police station, the red brick building across from the skate park, and that there is not a good process in place for dealing with property owners who are just – again and again, recidivist fines because of not being in code compliance. And what do you do with that? And I'll give you my 3-second summary of what I said earlier in the show, which is I think Escambia County does this really well. First of all, if you're a multiple property owner, you can't sell any of those properties. It's spider webs to the other properties until you clean up each one. You can't sell the property until you solve the lien problem. And those being the two big things. And they're willing to distinguish between hard costs like, you know, time and expense actually sunk versus penalties. And so they're willing to waive down to the hard costs when somebody like inherits a property or something like that. But here's what they don't do and what I would kind of recommend. One is I think you ought to have the buyer be able to come and ask for a waiver before he's bought the property. He doesn't have standing yet, but he could ask. I mean, that might not ever work out in practice, but it's something to look into. And then the other one is I really favor if somebody's a really bad, like, they violate and violate and violate, seize the property. I mean, at some point, it's such a blight that just like not paying your property taxes ought to forfeit your property. So yeah, I know you guys are going to do you're probably going to have a special meeting on this to talk about it, but those are just some things to keep in mind. And you may want to have somebody and, you know, have somebody talk to Allison Rogers at the county and find out what they do, because I think they do this pretty well.
Yeah, and I would say on all counts, agreed in some shape or form on all counts, and we've really done a great job. Ryan Spikes has taken over at Code. It's really brought some new, fresh ideas. And I absolutely agree with you. The pain point of this particular issue is the previous owner, who was a pain. It was a pain point for us forever. And now John, who's doing something good for the community, now has to, you know, and he knew the lead was there, but he's also investing exponentially more money into that project than someone else's old fine. So you're right. It's a tough situation all around, including for us, right? It's like, hey, great. Right. You're investing and you're turning away blight in this area. That would be great for us. Yet it looks now we've got to go wave code fines and make it look like that we can do that all the time. So 100% agree. And yeah, certainly we'll look into many options. I know we are looking into some of those options already.
Good. No, it was just interesting because I've heard so many of these conversations at the commission meetings, and all of a sudden the city council didn't just even have the tools to talk about this the right way. And I just wanted to share that with you.
Exactly.
Lightning round. We always end with the lightning round. Oh, we didn't even get to talk about the Mayor's Institute you went to. We'll come back to that next week. Good stuff.
That's right.
Did you have a teddy bear or stuffed animal still in your possession from your youth?
Ooh, no. And actually, my mom is moving houses, so she's now giving me all the stuff that she's got.
You're getting the hand-me-outs, right?
Actually, in the last couple of weeks.
Oh, very, very good. Okay. Back in the day, where did you buy your music?
Oh, man.
Are you old enough to have bought music? I should ask.
No. The store at Cordova Mall right now by the Dillard's. I don't remember the name of it. It was the last store. Yeah, I was a mall shopper. I would play at the arcade, go get a cassette tape for my walk.
All right, cassette tapes. Well done, son. And then the last one is, I think it was Monday, was the 100th anniversary of the Walt Disney Company. Does D.C. Reeves, as a dad, but also just as a person, do you have a favorite Disney movie or maybe two?
Ooh, I've kind of just been forced into the volume of top of mind. We just watched Little Mermaid. I don't know if that's my favorite.
The new one or the original?
Top of mind for me. That was like 2 days ago. The new one.
Okay.
New one.
All right.
I would say, put me on the spot. I would say I'm a big Lion King fan. I like Lion King. All the new stuff's good. The ones that's good for parents and kids, you know, that stuff I really enjoy.
No, and I agree. It's almost hard to come up with a bad answer to the question, so fair enough. D.C. Reeves,
exactly.
Mayor of Pensacola, look forward to talking to you again next week and to the city council meetings next week. But thank you so much for the time, and we'll talk to you again soon, sir. Absolutely. 5:52 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are a business owner and you've got employees who get benefits, health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, human resources management, payroll, all of that stuff, and you love doing it or you love the way it's going right now for you, fantastic. I'm glad for you. On the other hand, if you're like, Andrew, shut up. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to think about it. It's terrible. Okay, well, that's why you call Torgas and Causey. Because they can take care of this for you. They've been helping people just like you run their businesses more efficiently, focus on the stuff that got you into business instead of the sort of red tape bureaucratic management stuff that isn't fun, you didn't get into business to do, and you're not good at. Okay? Let somebody who's good at it do it, and they are. We've been using them here at News Radio and Cat Country for about 6 years, and they're fantastic. They give us options we didn't have before, and the customer service has been outstanding. And, you know, my wife likes to ask questions, okay? She's she's an engineer, okay? So she's detail-oriented, you know, logical. And so she asks the insurance questions. And with our previous, sort of customer service, we didn't have a lot of choices, so it didn't really matter what your questions were. But when she did ask them, we didn't really get great answers. When we ask Reed at Torgas and Causey, we always get good answers. And she loves that, and I appreciate that. If she's happy, I'm happy, right? So they are really, really good. Find out what they might be able to do for you. More than 20 years helping local businesses run their stuff better. No obligation to have them look at what you're doing. Torgerson Causey, 433-9996, or look them up online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
The Pensacola Interstate Fair is here. Lots of big and fast rides to thrill you with fun, food, games, and so much more. Free shows by Tracy Lawrence, Shane Proffitt, Alexandra Kay, Frank Foster, Below Alabama, Rocky and the Rollers, Whiteside Rock Ensemble, Performing Journey, and Mark Chestnut. Plus exhibits, the Livestock Auction, Kids Day, Military, First Responder and Teachers Days, Ladies Day, Seniors Day, $2 Ride Day, Last Blast Family Day, and Midnight Madness. It's the Pensacola Interstate Fair.
Pensacola Little Theater presents Alabama Story, October 20th through the 29th. Inspired by the true events from 1959, as the Civil Rights Movement is brewing, a segregationist state senator and a no-nonsense state librarian clash over the content of a children's book. Meanwhile, a reunion of childhood friends, an African-American man and a woman of white privilege, provides a private counterpoint to the public events swirling in the state capitol. That's Alabama Story. Get tickets now at the PLT box office or online at PensacolaLittleTheater.com.
Tomorrow morning at 10:30, join A-Hope on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They believe that every life is precious, that every wag of a tail, every purr, and every gentle nuzzle is a gift worth cherishing. Their dedicated team of volunteers works tirelessly to provide shelter, care, and love to animals in need. Learn how you can give back by becoming a volunteer or adopting or fostering a furry friend. Discover the resources you need to make your community a better place for pets. Tomorrow at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Why don't you just chill out a little bit and figure out which side you're on?
I would if I could, but you're just like them Pac-Man. Nothing but a gangster.
Good morning, 5:56 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Now, be honest, how many of you know what movie that was from? I know sometimes I pull the deep cuts. I know.
Yeah,
Colors. Robert Duvall talking to, what's his name? He was married to Madonna for a long time. All of a sudden, it just goes straight out of my head. I'll think of it in a second. Anyway, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
The U.S. is vetoing a U.N. resolution that called for a pause in the Israel-Hamas conflict. 12 members of the U.N. Security Council voted in favor of a resolution Wednesday, which would have called for a pause to allow for humanitarian aid to reach Gaza. The main suspect in the 2005 disappearance of Natalie Holloway has pleaded guilty now to defrauding and extorting her family. Jaran Vandersloot entered that guilty plea Wednesday. It was part of a plea deal, required him also to provide details about how she died and how her body was disposed of. He apparently admitted to the murder and also disposing of the body in the ocean. And something different might be coming to the highways soon. Tesla's holding a delivery event for that Cybertruck vehicle November 30th at its factory in Austin, Texas. So maybe we'll start seeing those around. That's the one that looks just really strange.
Yeah. It looks bizarre. Looks like it came from the day after or something. It's a bizarre looking
like something
vehicle.
Out of a bad futuristic sci-fi movie.
That's right. Like somebody's gonna, you know, like George Papard is gonna pop out of it or something.
A 1950s
and, you know,
interpretation of,
right, exactly,
right, of
you know?
What the future will look like. Yeah.
But here's what I guarantee you. I guarantee you, they will sell all of them. And there will be a waiting list.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, because I think the same way about Teslas. People get very, very aroused about the Tesla. And I'm like, me too, but ooh, not to own it. The other direction, I look at him, I think, that is the dumbest looking car I've ever seen. I'm sorry, it doesn't look. And the whole, like, it's electric, be exotic, does not appeal to me in the least. So, you know, thank goodness the cool, chic, hotness factor of the Teslas has bypassed me. Just like the cool, chic, hotness factor of the supercar. What are they calling it now? What's the name of it? The Tesla, the new one?
Oh, I can't remember.
The Inconvenient.
Yeah, the Inconvenient. That's exactly right. The Angular. It's got all the stylings of the F-117, the ugliest stealth fighter ever made. But okay, there you go. I also guarantee you this. People will be at home trying to, you know, throw a chair at it to see if it really is unbreakable. Which the irony of that is something like it got weakened the first time they tried it or something, and that's why it broke the second time when you did it live or whatever. So, you know, it really will resist if you only do it once.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.